How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode number 26 of Master My Garden podcast. In this week's episode, I'm talking about wildflowers, and this week will be sort of part one of a two-part series on both wildflowers, so native Irish wildflowers, and then a follow-on episode next week about floral meadows. And I wanted to cover these because it's important to make the distinction between the two of them. Now, you often see when people put up pictures of their lovely floral meadows, very quickly people will chime in and say they're not native flowers, they're bad, and so on. But there's a bit of balance needed, and I suppose firstly it's to distinguish what is a native Irish wildflower or a native wildflower meadow and what is a pictorial meadow. Both of them have their place, both of them have their functions, and both of them are very, very beautiful and have great benefits for pollinators and so on. But it's important to distinguish between the two of them and talk about, you know, how you grow one, how you grow the other, and so on. So in this week's episode, we're covering the native Irish wildflowers, and it's we have a very special guest on to cover that, probably the foremost wildflower expert in Ireland, Sandro Cofola. And Sandro's business is Designed by Nature, and he's been growing wildflowers since the 80s, so a lot of knowledge, grows wildflowers from all around the country, has a really, really substantial business, and knows the wildflowers from all around the country, knows what will grow in different conditions and what won't grow. And I'll give you a little bit of a run through later of the, you know, the process that he goes through to end up with a packet of seeds that he can deliver to gardeners. But as I say, he's the foremost expert on it in Ireland. So great chat on this week's episode, which is purely based around wildflowers, native Irish wildflowers. So let's get stuck in to this week's episode. So as I said, we're joined by Sandro Cofola today, one of the foremost experts in wildflowers in Ireland, and it's going to be part one of a two-part series on floral meadows and wildflowers. And Sandro is going to give us a run through his own business, Designed by Nature, today, and we're also going to talk about wildflowers and the distinction between them and floral meadows and the importance of wildflowers in our gardens. So Sandro, you're very welcome to Master My Garden podcast.
Thank you, Dan.
So maybe, as I said, you're growing wildflowers and you have a wildflower nursery and you sell wildflowers for many, many years, and the company is Designed by Nature. So maybe you'll tell us a little bit about Designed by Nature, where it started and where it is today.
Thank you. We started in 1988. I was landscaping. I realised there was no bees and butterflies and birds in people's gardens, bar on a few plants. So I went looking to see where I could encourage those plants. And very quickly, I came to wildflowers. And I had been working with wildflowers for making wine at home as a teenager and in the garden as herbs. But it was so simple just to start going out and picking the seed and bringing them into people's gardens. And within a year or two, I realized this is the way to go, that this is really what attracts wildlife into gardens. So I gave up the landscaping in the summer and did the landscaping in the winter. And during the summer, I went out around the country and started picking seeds. By 1988, I wrote a paper to the government and said, we're going to do this. Have you any objections? Unlike fish farming, if there's objections, raise them now. We don't want them 20 years down the road when it's too late. And the one thing they said was, don't import them, because you have genotypes of local species of wildflowers all around the country, and they do differ. And when you start importing those, they interbreed with them, and we may lose our natives. And we've seen that with the hawthorn tree. There's so many imported hawthorn trees these days, nobody can find a native hawthorn tree. So in 1990, we established a business called Designed by Nature, and we started selling wildflower seeds. In the first year, we did 2,000 quid. These days, we do a couple of hundred thousand. And we went out to people like John David Putnam and Frank Keane and people who had some money and would know a bit about wildflowers. And we went to them and said, look, you can afford a wildflower meadow. If you put it in, other people might follow you. And that was something that was done in Africa with tiles and iron roofs. When they wanted to make mud tiles for the roofs, they went to the hospitals and the schools and they gave them the mud tiles free. And everyone else in Africa went, oh, look, mud tiles are really expensive and we should get them, so they stop putting tin roofs on. So that's our strategy for the wildflowers. So very quickly people copped on, and then we started doing garden festivals in the 1990s. including winning a gold at Chelsea for Mary Reynolds. We planted her wildflower garden for her. But the public in Ireland really took to this during the 1990s. We sold an awful lot of seed packets.
Okay.
And all around Ireland, people were growing small amounts in the garden, and very quickly they realised this works. Mm-hmm. And our biggest fan was Gerry Daly. Gerry overnight sussed this. He spotted that we need to have low meadows, not high meadows, floral lawns that are cut more regularly, but they could be in very small areas. And that brought in butterflies and bees, and that's what really started this. And then the roads programme came, and we went to the government and the scientists, the OPW and National Parks and Wildlife Scientists, and we said, excuse me, there should be wildlife corridors. And if we're building motorways, why don't we put wildflowers and native trees in these corridors right through the countryside so that wildflowers can come, insects and birds can come from the farms and the ponds and the forests onto these wildlife corridors, and they can move around the country. So we did, and we spent the next 15 years supplying motorways. And that took most of the business. But then the hotels and the tourist industry, the parks in particular, county councils, Dunleary County Council, have amazing meadows. They're stunning.
Dunleary?
Yeah, in Cabinteely Park, a 2-hectare meadow that's there 20 years now. Wow. And it just gets better and better every time I visit it. And the public love it. When we first went out there, there was letters written in saying, would you cut the grass? It's very untidy. The next year, those very same people wrote the very letter saying, don't cut the grass. It's beautiful. So it's because we were cutting pathways through it.
Yeah. And so this meadow that you're talking about is 20 years old?
In Cabinteely, it's one of the oldest big ones, yeah.
And there's no reseeding into that?
It's just been sown once and cut every year correctly.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, it's a stunning meadow.
And it's lasting for that length of time.
Stunning meadow. So we have developed a business now using satellite farms. Excuse the noises in the background, that's building. We have satellite farms. We have farms in Urlingford, Carlow, Laois, Tipperary. I say Urlingford because it's Kilkenny and Tipperary. We have them in Meath, Clare and Wexford. And we have in the Cumbria Mountains a new farm being set up. And there's other farmers coming to us with land that we're looking at all the time. It's not easy, and it's not a quick way to make money. It takes a good few years to establish these crops, and it needs to be on weed-free ground. But there is good money in it, and we're paying about 500 a hectare at the moment. It can be more. It can be much more, depending on the yield.
Okay. And so the process now, we spoke a little bit before we started recording. The process for you is you're collecting seed, you're propagating them on your nursery, and then you're growing them on for a couple of years, 2 to 3 years, before you can harvest
John,
that
that's
seed.
My job. I go out in the van all around Ireland. I might do the Atlantic Way twice in summer. I'd certainly go through all the Eskers up the Callows and the Shannon Callows. I'd be looking at meadows throughout the country and calling in on farmers. Sometimes this is roadside picking, sometimes this is mountain picking in Cuirtland, but often you're in a farmer's field and you're knocking on the door and saying, you've got a meadow, we're willing to pay for it. They can't believe you're offering them money for weeds. We offer them cash, and then we take a collection, and that collection of seed comes back here and we breed that up. And we grow it. You've seen the little nursery we have here. We grow on 1,000 plants of each species, and we add that to our crops.
Okay.
Every year we just keep doing that with more and more species. So now we have cultivated land where we have intensive crops, where we do the open day you mentioned earlier. It's not on this year, but it will be on most years. And we bring people there and we show them how to grow wildflowers, what to expect, the different colours, the different phases of wildflowers, because you get a spring crop and then you get what everyone knows, the oxeye daisy, the middle of summer with the clovers and the trefoils. But that fades and you get the grassy meadow, which people turn against. They go, oh, it's very grassy. Yeah. But actually, if you wait 3 weeks, then more colour comes in because the grass heads fall off. And that lasts right into October sometimes.
Yeah.
Like we've had them flowering up to Christmas in some cases when a mild winter.
So
what we're doing there is we're collecting in the wild, we're bringing them back, we're growing them on. We're also collecting crops in the wild by going to farmers and paying them for a huge area, and we're saying, look, that's buttercup, we'll harvest that with our combine harvesters, and we send in the machinery. And other places we have to hand pick the seed because they're SACs or something.
Okay.
And you have the special permission to collect seed in those sites, but we usually get that permission.
Very good. And Design by Nature, so you're selling wildflower seeds now. That's the business. You're selling wildflower seeds, and your customers are parks departments, roads authorities. I know you mentioned some big fruit growers that are doing it as well.
Yeah, the general public are our main customer at the moment, but we get huge orders from roadsides, county council parks, hotels, tourist projects, A lot of wind farms, and now when they start building them, solar farms will be putting in wildfires. County councils spend a lot of money because it saves them cutting grass, and in the long term they can reduce the bill of the maintenance of the county council over 5 to 10 years. And we now know from science, having recorded these meadows, what might cost €2,000 a hectare to plant, it actually saves €2,000 in maintenance every year.
Wow. Yeah. And obviously it has biodiversity benefits and health benefits for people living in that area as well. So there's multiple benefits of it.
Yeah, they loved them. The public, when they started buying our meadows in the 90s, didn't really know what they were buying, but now they do. They're very astute now about meadows. They know the difference between the pictorial meadows you mentioned earlier and an annual meadow. So we supply annuals. So annuals grow on the cornfield. Poppy, marigold, corn marigold, corn cockle, mayweed. Two of those were extinct, we had to reintroduce them, corn camomile. But the reintroduced plants, we stopped growing, and natives have been found. Also, corn cockle we had to reintroduce. But we saved corn flour from extinction, and we have bred a crop of that up. And we have poppy and marigold, they're not yet extinct, and we have those. So they only flower for 1 year, and people see them. They're the chocolate box images you get, and they're the ones you see on the little packets of seeds. Very colourful, but they only last 1 year, and people don't realise they don't come back. They say, oh, they set seed. They do, but they need to go into a cornfield. They need to be dug, rotivated, and re-sown with the corn or on their own to grow again the second year. In a meadow, they can't survive.
Yeah.
So in the meadow, then, gardeners now are getting oxeye daisy and yellow rattle and red clover and trefoil. They're early flowering perennials, but they're only for the first few years. The real meadow plants that we're interested in take 3 to 5 to 7 years before you see them flowering.
Okay.
And that's field scabious, purple loosestrife, hemp agrimony, lady's bedstraw, marjoram, again, burstwood trefoil, which you have plants I was showing you as we walked around, ragged robin, and some of the wetland plants. So there's a whole range of species that actually only germinate in the first year as you sow them, but there are only 2 leaves in the second year, or 4 leaves, and they're underneath the meadow, and you have to cut the meadow and remove all the grass and rake it up after you remove it to let the sunlight in to sterilise the soil so those seedlings can keep germinating.
Okay.
The ultraviolet sunlight that you allow in after this meadow is cut and after you rake it all away and give it a good hard raking, that ultraviolet sunlight sterilises the soil, keeps away the slugs, and allows those wildflowers to grow. And they take years. So even in the second year, you mightn't see them germinate. You will see some, but not all of them. But by the third year, most of them will be present.
Okay.
And then by the fourth and fifth year, then you get your true meadow plants. But in Ireland, people stop cutting after the second year because they go, it's gone white. They don't realise that we're actually selling ecological successions, unlike the pictorial meadows, which just die out.
Yep.
Ours persist and they become long-term meadows, hence the reason why we have them on motorways and golf courses and in public parks. They are long-term flora.
Okay, I think that's a very important point there, so what you just said. So starting from scratch, somebody buys your perennial mix as such, and they start with clean soil.
Right.
And I know a lot of people say don't spray it, but you don't necessarily rule that out at
okay.
the start.
Yeah, most professional horticulturists in this country have a very strong view about Roundup. It should never be used in food. We use it in immunity horticulture. We're fighting back. We're saying we're using it once to kill a problem that was in the soil before we got to that soil.
Yeah.
Usually dock, thistle, nettle and scutch. Not just grass. Grass can be killed with vinegar, but scutch can't.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be killed off with a weed killer. Now, there are other weed killers that used to be used, residual weed killers. They're all gone. They're all banned. Roundup is actually the safest of all them, provided you're not using it in the food chain.
Yeah.
And our meadows aren't in the food chain. They're in the biodiversity chain, and it's the flora and the soil microflora will get damaged by Roundup. Continuous use, but one spray we can see no effect on the worms, no effect on the microflora, and by that one spray you're cleaning up the ground, and then you can cultivate it, you can get a machine in to cultivate it and bring up seedlings and germinate them, and that way you can come with the little tiny seedlings and use vinegar. So we're saying and use a weed killer for 1 day and get a meadow that's going to last for years and protect biodiversity.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer for us.
Yeah, so it makes sense that just as a one-off you're using this to get your ground clean, to allow you to get your meadow established. You spray, get your area clean, you cultivate, and then you sow in your seeds. And you've said then that you'll get your annuals popping through in year one. And
biennials too.
Biennials in year two, and you'll have your colours will change as you go along.
Yeah.
And you've also said that by year three, five, seven.
Well, by year three, you see a lot of perennials, but they're short-lived perennials like the oxeye daisy. They won't persist in the meadow over the long term. You might get a few, but really the good permanent perennials that last for many, many years, they're the ones we're really trying to get our customers to grow.
Yeah. And the process then is it grows and you cut it back. And how do you cut it, I suppose?
There's many ways to cut it, but the first process is to use the annuals to rob the soil of nitrogen.
Okay.
So the annuals grow fast and quick, and they take out all the nutrients that would cause perennial weeds to grow.
Okay.
In the second year, it's basically the same thing, because the annuals don't grow in the second year. We're giving you biennials, and these are fun plants and very colourful and are great for wildlife, but they also die out.
Okay.
And in that second year, you have to cut it. The first year isn't so important to cut it, but you must cut. It doesn't matter if you miss it one year, but you need to come back in spring and cut it. So you can cut with a lawnmower if it's kept short, like a Jerry Daly short-cut floral lawn. So if you don't have a scythe or sickle or machinery or a finger bar mower to cut your meadow, you need to cut it more regularly at the top height of the ride-on mower or your lawnmower. And that would be about 4 to 6 inches, even in full flower. So as the oxeyes are flowering, allow them flower, as they start to go off, and they start to fade, just cut the whole lot back. And you get another flush. Just the way the daisies do in the lawn, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dandelions and daisies, every time you cut them, they flower again.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same with wildflowers. So that's the Jerry Daly lawn. He's come up with that himself, and he's right for the Dáil as well. They want to put wildflowers in the Dáil Éireann, a meadow. Micheál Martin said this, but we actually think that that should be a floral lawn. It looks well. It's low cut and very understandable. And we're also telling people to put these floral lawns at the front of your meadow to frame the meadow.
Okay.
So in the second and third year, yes, you will get volume, and you have to cut that. So a side for a small area of less than 100 square metres. Use a side, use them early in the morning, late in the evening, and use a strimmer during the day when the ground is, or when the plants are tough. But the side, a sharp side, will cut through the meadow really quickly, faster than any strimmer, and it's great exercise. And there's competitions online now. You can go on YouTube and see these competitions in England, siding your wildflower meadow. Oh. It's a huge, big keep fit thing in England at the moment, and all over Europe, and they're called Austrian sides, and you can buy them on the internet. You can also use the shears for a very small area, and if you're by the seaside and it's very windy, the wind itself will blow away and desiccate all the plants, so you mightn't have to do it, but you have to be right on the coast. Most of our customers get in a sickle bar finger mower, which they rent, and they cut the meadow. That's the old finger bar mower. And they rent that out, and that cuts the meadow. And then a lot of customers who have big areas are using agricultural machinery that you cut any old hay meadow with, or silage, and then they bale it up and remove it. And that's used as compost around trees or in the compost heap.
And do you need to leave the cuttings there for a period of time to allow it to reseed?
No. In England, when they started this... John, can I just pull back a bit before I answer that?
Yeah.
I will answer that. In England, when they started this, they used grass, because grass stops growing in southern England. We don't use grass in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we use plants to control grass, like yellow rattle eyebright and red barseed. They attach themselves to the grass, and they stop the grass growing high. So you don't have the volume. But the important thing is, those plants can only be sown in autumn.
Okay.
If you sow them in spring, you still have to come back to us in the autumn and sow those again. Okay. So you're actually better sowing in autumn, right? So that's the first thing, to reduce the quantity of what you're cutting down. Right, in England, it was with grass. In Ireland, we try not to sow meadows with grass, unless it's for erosion control or other reasons, hardware.
Yep.
So, what was your question?
My question was, do you leave the cuttings?
Right. So, in England, they left the cuttings because they wanted the seed to fall out, because they were cutting earlier to keep the grass down.
Okay.
In Ireland, we're cutting later, and the seed's already fallen. You don't need to.
Okay.
Also, in Ireland, if you get a lad in to cut the meadow, particularly a contractor, and it rains, he's not coming back, he's off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got a mess on your ground. So we say cut and collect in the one day.
Okay.
So you don't get a mess. And it's very important our customers hear that. Not only do you cut and collect, but after you cut and collected all the cuttings, go back in and rake it one more time, either by hand or with a harrow, or even a pallet with nails stuck in it, and just drag it across the ground to open up the soil and let the seedlings grow.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And I suppose that one of the major benefits of design by nature is that, and I've seen it in your test patches here, you're replicating areas from around the country. So you had a burn area, had a wet ground area. So you know what will grow give or take.
John, we did that to take the to make it easy for gardeners because they didn't know at the beginning. So we describe our products by soil type to begin with. So sand, peat, clay, loam. Then you have acid soils and alkaline. So acid is without lime, and that's usually the boggier soils or the soils of the West Coast and Waterford. And then you get limey soils, mainly Tullamore in the Midlands, Mullingar, right up to Dublin. You do get lime in Sligo and other places. Galway is very limey. Of course, people think, oh, my well is lime, but the well is 400 feet down the ground.
Yeah.
So there's limestone underneath you, but that doesn't mean the surface of the soil is limey. You need to know what the soil surface is. And like on the burn, you were saying we replicate all these Irish ecosystems. The burn top is acidic, but underneath is very limey, so you can grow a whole range of plants.
Okay.
So what I've created outside is for my customers to see when they call down, and we're not open to the public, it's by invitation only, but it's to show them different ecosystems. So we have them by soil type, but we've also done a range of ecotypes, so woodland, seaside, the callows, the eskers, the burn, roof gardens. That's a new ecosystem that people are putting in, is living green roofs. And then we also did more recently for gardeners, because gardeners are now very aware of biodiversity and bees, the decline of insects. So we now have a bird and butterfly mixture, a bee mixture. But actually, they're the same species that are in the soil mixture.
Okay.
But we just call them that so that people could latch onto that name and buy them.
Yeah, it just gives them
something to buy. But actually, you're better buying by your soil type, because they're the species that will grow in your soil type. Whereas if I give you a bee mixture, there'll be alkaline and acid plants. And if you have an acid soil, the alkaline ones won't grow.
Yeah.
So why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah. No, that is the, over the last few years, that has been the big driver, is the bees and the butterflies and you know, attracting those into the garden. And yeah, as you rightly said, you're able to choose your soil type, and once you're sown a mix that suits that soil type, then they're automatically going to come in anyway.
Yeah, when we started in the 1990s, nobody was concerned about butterflies, bees and birds, even though we had those mixtures. Everyone was concerned with low maintenance.
Yeah.
They wanted to take the cost out of maintaining green lawn.
Yeah, cost and time.
Cost and time. And then in the noughties, we saw the change, but really now in the last 10 years, since 2010, since the last recession, really, bees and butterflies have become the main, and the birds. And we have a lovely mixture. People don't really understand it. You see, there's a biodiversity pack, and that brings all the insects in. But if you want to encourage bees, you have to keep the plants from seeding, so you keep them shorter.
Okay.
So our bee mixture needs to be cut more often. However, our bird mixture, the birds don't eat the flowers, they eat the seeds. So we put them to the back and they're taller. And we leave them uncut, but they're specialist species that can survive right through the winter uncut, but we must cut them in the spring. But the birds have eaten the whole way through the winter. So people say, it's no colour. What do you mean there's no colour? When you see the bullfinches, the chaffinches, the goldfinches, eating all these wildflowers, this is colour galore.
Yeah.
So yeah, winter colour, which the lawn doesn't have. So hands down, we're cheaper, even though they're dear to buy at the beginning, they're cheaper in the long term, they're better for the environment, they're more fun, they really do inspire you. And the thing that all of us here in this business, all the 8 employees here, we're all convinced that wildflowers make you happier. And now the science from Germany is showing that. Trees and plants in rural and urban environments where the vapours on a hot day are released, people's well-being is better. And science is showing us that now. It's the vapours that they are releasing, you're inhaling, and are making you healthier and your environment. Less crime, less stress for all the people measured. And these are cities all over Germany and England.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's great that it can be replicated into people's gardens, and everyone can do their bit, you know, for biodiversity and so on. If so you're saying about your mixes that there's slightly different variations on what they should do and how they treat them and cut them and so on. So if someone buys one of your packs or your mixes, you provide that information so they know exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah, we're stuck building a new website at the moment. COVID has destroyed that plan. We have spent a lot of money to launch it this year. Hopefully it'll be launched soon. We were supposed to be launched in May. But the old website is 20 years there, up online. It's had millions of hits, and we have a product page. And when you go into the product page, it shows you all the different products. But there's a link. Click the link. It tells you how to open them, how to maintain them, and what's in them. But the main thing about our products is that, and gardeners don't realise this, you can have a spring meadow that only flowers in spring, get very little flowers in the summer, but it's beautiful in spring. You can have a meadow that has spring, summer and autumn plants. It's up to you to know what you want to do and want to achieve. It's the amount of cutting, it's the amount of work you put into it. The less work you put in, of course you're going to get loads of enjoyment, but the more work you put into these meadows, the better they are. Because okay. You can always go out and plant plants into them that you can't establish yourself from seeds. There's a lot of that goes on in wildflower growing. A lot of those plants that we grow do not like pots, so they can only be grown from seed, whereas other plants don't like to be grown from seed. They need to be grown from cuttings. So we supply them as plants as well. So we're trying to educate our customers to know that the spring, summer and late autumn season of flowering. There are short meadows and tall meadows. There's meadows for upland and coastal areas. There's meadows for, as I mentioned earlier, all the different soil types. So we harvest about, and a bad year, about 80 species, and a good year, up to 180 different wildflower species out of the 850 native trees, shrubs and grasses in Ireland. We're harvesting over nearly a quarter of them all. And we're making blended mixtures, usually between 30 and 40 species. Most of the species have similarities on the same soil. So oxeye daisy will go into nearly every mixture. Okay. So will clover and trefoil. But it's the variation in the mixture that makes the difference.
Yeah. Okay. And just to go back on the process again, in terms of, and we're sitting in a tunnel here as we speak, and you have on the floor, you have huge amounts of seed, as in millions of seed.
Yeah, these are small amounts. We haven't started harvesting the big amounts yet. We're just at the beginning of the summer harvest here. So what you're looking at is stalks with flower heads, and you can see the petals there. This one is an oxeye daisy. It's just finished flowering all around the country, and it's been flowering from May into June, and now in July the petals go off and a little yellow centre comes on, and in that yellow centre you'll see the seeds forming, and they're white and silvery, and you see them underneath here. As I clear back this here now, I'll just move that back for you here now. Okay, so there's the petals. You see the petals and
yep.
Some of the chaff, and underneath that is the silver seed. You can see it at the very bottom here. Of course, we're doing a podcast. There, that's probably the best I can.
It will be better visually, but there's an amazing amount of seed here.
Yeah, so what you get in a little packet of seeds is usually a gram or a half gram. That's there, a teaspoon there. You see that?
Yeah.
Wildflowers are sown at one level teaspoon per meter squared. So it's a gram and a half of seeds per meter squared. And if you look closely, you'll see all different sizes of seed in a seed mixture, from ones the size of a pea right down to ones the size of a pinhead. And they have barbs on them. Each under the electron microscope, each seed has a barb, and they fall on the ground and they work themselves into the ground according to the length of the barb and the toughness of the barb. So the bigger seeds have tough barbs and they go deeper, and the little tiny seeds have little tiny barbs and they stay on the surface. So they actually sow themselves. All you have to do is get them into friable soil.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people are doing biofilters, and they have clay soil that's sticky and no seed is going into it, and it cracks open. And wildflowers are difficult in those situations. But trust me, they actually do perform over about 3 years. They're just, they need an extra year or two to catch
up. To establish.
To establish. Yeah. So if you're sowing a clay soil, a sticky, wet clay soil, just be careful that it will take a bit longer. So I'm pulling back now. This is what we do with rakes. So as the seed comes into the tunnels from the hand pickers and the combine harvesters, we have to dry it and get this chaff out before it goes mouldy, because you don't want mould on seeds. It's the last thing you want. So as we clean and dry here, we're separating out the seed. And then that seed is stored in the winter. And when October, November come on, the header is the last harvest of the year. And when we harvest the header seed for the mountains, we shut the barn doors, and then we spend the whole winter cleaning seed.
Well,
right. So there's a crew of 8 people here, and we're using sieves and winnowers. We're using a gravity flow, and it does take the whole winter to clean the seed. We're dealing with a few tons of seed, and this isn't grain now. There's 1,000 seeds to the size of one grain here, so we're dealing in trillions of seeds,
well,
millions and trillions. As you know, you're getting 2 or 3 tons of grain per acre. We're getting 2 or 3 kilos of seed per acre.
It's amazing.
It's a different thing.
When you see the amount in a teaspoon, and you're saying you're doing a couple of tons, it's quite an incredible amount of seeds.
You're looking across a huge 24-metre tunnel here by 16 metres wide. And you said it was full. I don't think it's full at all.
Yeah.
We've yet to start filling these tunnels. It's early in the year yet. But I can assure you, very soon these tunnels will be filling every day with seed. And it has to be turned dry and moved out through, and then, because you don't want the seed to overheat in the tunnels either. Hot air doesn't destroy seeds, so we have to be very careful.
And then your seeds, you have two different sowing periods on them. You have a sowing period for spring flowering, and then you have an autumn sowing.
Yeah, well, they'll all catch up, so it doesn't matter when you sow. We can sow, we sow the whole year round, but you can sow mainly in spring, and the best time is autumn. September is the very best month to sow. The reason being, yellow rattle eyebright, the plants that keep all the other plants down and keep the grass down, they attach themselves to these plants and they take their sugars and starches and water, so they control the grass. They have to be sown in the autumn. We do put them in fridges for the spring, and we, if you sow early in spring, you will get eyebright. Right, but that's usually February, March, and gardeners aren't usually ready by then. Yeah. The ground isn't wet, it's usually wet. So in spring we say sow in May and April when the ground starts to dry out. Okay. You know, April, May.
I think that's a good point, and a lot of gardeners don't necessarily pick up on it. Is that the autumn is the best time to sow these, and September being the best month. But I think generally people are trying to do it in springtime, as you said. But the autumn is the best time, so that's an important point.
Yeah, and also we're saying to customers these days, if you're going to do a big area, why don't you start with a little strip in front? Get, even if it's not clean, just start and get ahead so you know what to expect. And leave the big area behind. So at least you have your annuals flowering in the front and you can see them from the house. But the big area, leave it for a year and get it weed-free. Mm-hmm. That's the best advice I can give anyone. Weeds are the total enemy of wildflowers. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but let me explain why. Dock, thistle, nettle, scutch, the rudimentary weeds, they depend on nitrogen and a dug and turned soil. We're telling our customers to dig and turn the soil if they have weeds to get rid of the weeds. But if you leave that soil, those weeds will fly back. And we all know nettle, how quick it can grow, and bindweed, how fast it can grow. So if you leave a meadow all summer and don't cut it, those weeds are just going to take over. So you must start on weed-free soil.
Okay,
there's no point. It's like throwing the cake ingredients at the wall and expecting a souffle. It's not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen.
So that's a good tip. And autumn sowing is best, start weed-free, and then follow the different mix instructions in terms of cutting them and so on. That's the best advice.
That's correct. Yeah. And again, for those people, I know you're going to cover the pictorial meadows, so let me just explain the difference. Our seed is all native Irish. It's all found in Ireland, sourced in Ireland from native plants that are on the Irish flora. We collect that seed and grow it on. Imported seed in the pictorial meadows comes from any country in the world. It's pooled in Holland. It's located in warehouses for 2 years, going stale before you get it. Then it's distributed to warehouses across England and France, where it's packed and boxed and sold into Ireland. So it's 3 years old by the time you get it. That's the first reason why some of it doesn't grow. The ones that do grow, the better ones from Sheffield University and people like the pictorial meadows, they're very expensive. They're actually four times the price of ours. But they're only annuals and biennials, and they don't persist. So people ring those up and give out to us for buying the product from someone else, and they say it was our wildflower, which right. It wasn't. We know from the pictures they send us that they're not even native plants, and then they give out to us because it didn't grow. But that's the problem with pictorial meadows. Now, there is a great use for pictorial meadows, and that's in roundabouts and temporary gardens, front gardens. When you're designing your house and you're building it and you're moving soil, sow those areas with pictorial meadows because it keeps them clean and weed-free, and it looks wonderful.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
When you're in your new garden, now is the time, because you can cover a huge area with pictorial meadow. It'll give you a year or two in advance, and then by then you will be ready, because you've got your house finished and all. You'll be ready to start your garden. So, and they are lovely, there's no doubt about it. Another problem with pictorial meadows, and we've discussed this as well, is the importation uncertified seed. All seed has to come into Europe as certified, but these are coming in mail order through the internet and they're not certified, and pests and diseases are coming with them. And during COVID-19, botanists are looking at ash trees dying all over the country because of ash dieback. Cherry has dieback. There's a lot of trees in this country getting diseases, and we're going to lose them because people brought in those plants without them being tested. And we need to put our foot down right now and say, you're causing as much problem by importing plants as you are by bringing COVID.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've had a good run through the process of how you do the seed, and it's quite an incredible business.
It's unique, isn't it?
It's very unique, and as I say, it's an amazing process. But maybe, Sandra, you might tell us where people can find you.
We're on the web at www.wildflowers.ie. The business is called Design by Nature, and we are the owners of wildflowers.ie, and we prefer people to come through the free quote form online, and when the new web is launched, you'll just be able to put in your county and your soil type, and it'll automatically recommend a mixture for you. You don't need to contact us, and the reason I say that is we're dealing with corporates, people like Keelings were doing integrated pest management for, were doing super value, giving 3,500 packets of seeds to free schools this year. We're dealing with county councils and they're taking up all our time and we just don't have the time to answer gardening questions. Mm-hmm. Like, can you grow petunias in your window boxes with wildflowers? I don't want to answer that for the 500th time.
Yeah. But the answers are on your website. Yeah. So go through the website first, go through the quote form. And people can find you on social media as well, I know.
Yeah, not this year because I'm so busy, but yeah, normally we have a Facebook, which is under Sandra Crofola. But if you go to our new website, which will be coming soon, when we relaunch wildflowers.ie, it'll have the same name, wildflowers.ie. All the social media links will be on that.
Yeah, and I put all the links in the show notes of this anyway. So Sandra, thank you very much. It's been eye-opening, very interesting, and a brilliant chat. So thanks for coming on Master My Garden podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So that's been this week's episode. A huge thanks to Sandra for coming on. The knowledge that he has is incredible, to be honest with you. And when I visited him last weekend, he has some amazing things up there. So to give a bit of a run through, he has several little trial plots set up, and they're set up in a way to replicate different areas in the country. So for example, he had one area, it's only possibly 10 or 15 square meters, but he has the ground conditions set up to replicate the burn in County Clare. And it's amazing when you see it, because obviously what he's doing there, he's seeing how certain wildflowers will grow in that environment. So if you come from that area or you have that type of soil, he will know from his trial experience that certain seeds will grow there and certain seeds won't. He also has a trial area set up for wetlands, trial area set up for sandy conditions, so very, very close to the seaside and sand dunes and so on, so he and eskers. So he has trial conditions set up and he is testing all the various seeds that he collects in these areas. When I visited on the weekend, I saw how the process works and it's quite incredible. I'll put up a couple of pictures of it. It's he harvests with little mini combine harvesters, and they are combine harvesters that are used for trial plots of grain. So they're amazing little machines, and they gather up basically the complete plant, wildflower plant, and they bring it into polytunnels. And on the floor of the polytunnels, they have sheets of plastic. And these wildflowers are tossed and turned and spread over a few weeks period until they dry out completely. And it was amazing to see. There was millions upon millions of little seeds dropping to the floor. And they'll be all gathered up and taken inside into a seed house. And they'll be sieved through several different sieves to take out the different sizes of seed and the chaff and so on. And eventually he'll end up with specific seeds. And then you can buy a specific wildflower off him, or you can buy blended mixes off him. And it really is an incredible process. And the amount of work and preparation that goes into having wildflower seeds was incredible. As I say, he is the foremost expert on it in the country. So if there is anything that you want to know on native wildflowers, then definitely give him a shout. His website details are wildflower.ie, and yeah, you look him up there and he'll guide you in the right direction. As I say, that's part one of what will be a two-part, and next week I'll cover floral or pictorial meadows. And it's just important that we distinguish between the two of them and know exactly what we're talking about. One is not bad and the other is good. Both of them have their benefits. Both of them are beneficial for insects. But, you know, as I say, it's just important to distinguish which is which and use them in the right places, use them in the right location. And as I say, both of them have their purpose. So, great chat. And again, thanks very much to Sandra for coming on. So that's been this week's episode. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. And if you are, please share it with all your gardening friends. I have a new Facebook page, so it's Master My Garden on Facebook, and I'd be grateful if you could like Master My Garden page. I'll have lots of new stuff coming up there. So that's pretty much it. A really great episode with Sandro, and I hope you enjoyed it. And until the next time, happy gardening.